Do y'all ever wonder why you are still here on Earth? And sometimes, especially when I talk with older people, they'll say something to the effect of, "I don't know why I'm still here." Y'all, that's heartbreaking. We are all still here because God has a purpose for us here. Now, so often we look at our salvation as a gift from God to give us eternal life, and it absolutely is. But it's so much more than that. Have you ever heard the phrase, saved to serve? From the moment of our acceptance of God's grace until our death, God has work for us to do. And He doesn't expect us to do His work blindly. God gives each of us one or more spiritual gifts at various times that equip us for the work He has for us. He doesn't give us these gifts for us to stick them in the back of the closet like they're an ugly sweater from Grandma. He gives us these gifts to build up and to grow His church and to bring others to Him. But somewhere along the way, we've shut the Holy Spirit down. We put Him in that box I talked about, and we do our best to keep that box locked, closed. Why? Scholar and author Scott McKnight names three reasons Christians try to keep the Holy Spirit under their control. He says they lack education, they lack experience, and they are afraid. If you'll remember, I told you, about the friend that told me that she didn't know what the gifts from the Spirit meant for believers today. And that's an example of a lack of education. Now understand, she's a very intelligent woman, holds at least one degree, maybe more, runs a successful business. She's been in church all of her life and held as many positions as her church allows. She's probably even held some women aren't generally accepted for. But the thing is, a lack of education has left her not understanding the gifts. As she told me, no one's ever explained them. And that lack of education has led to a lack of experience. If you don't know anything about a thing, how can you gain experience in that thing? I firmly believe that every Christian has been blessed with a gift from the Spirit at one time or another, but hasn't recognized it as such because they just aren't something we talk about in most of our modern churches. And the reason that we don't talk about them, or even to an extent want to talk about them and learn about them, is fear. Now, we've all seen the faith healers on TV selling miracles. "Be healed," they scream as they push someone over with the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us, has been known to make jokes about them. Same thing with people talking in tongues. However, these parodies that we see on TV, the jokes we make, they encourage our fear. We worry about what someone will think if we talk about the Holy Spirit's gifts, especially the gifts that He bestows on us. We fear that those gifts could cause us to lose control. I can't say anything to alleviate that fear for you. What I can do is promise you that if you surrender to the Spirit, you absolutely do not have control over yourself anymore. And yes, that is scary. But I think the scariest part of all of it for us is what others may think about us if we let the Spirit take control. I'm going to tell y'all the truth here. I was petrified when God told me to do this series on the gifts of the Spirit, because it's just not something we talk about in this day and age. I'll get into it in a future sermon, I'm sure, but there are people that say that the gifts don't exist anymore. I disagree with them, in case you didn't know. But it's scary to talk about supernatural things. However, the words spoken by my friend made my light bulb go off, and I knew what God wanted me to do. But I have seen the looks on people's faces when I admit to acting on what the Spirit leads me to do, and those looks tell me that there are those that think I'm half a bubble off, one short of a six-pack, or that my elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. That said, today we are looking at the gift of wisdom, the gift of a word of wisdom. Now, in the secular world, wisdom often takes years to acquire. Consider your wise old granny who could advise you about life. She probably didn't have a degree in psychology or sociology or anything else, but she had lived long enough and had enough life experiences that she was very wise. The word of wisdom from God through the Holy Spirit isn't dependent on age. It is dependent on faith. Now you know why I started this series with faith, because without the supernatural gift of faith that God has to give us through the Holy Spirit, we can't believe that it's all worked out before we ever see an answer. We can't act on any of the gifts we receive because we don't recognize them as gifts from God. Now, when you receive the gift of a word of wisdom, God tells you about a future situation and shows you how you should handle it. Now, it might be a future event that you will encounter, or it might be a future event that someone else is going to encounter. It can also be an event they're going through right now. It may be something you're going through right now and someone says just the right thing. Now, if you receive the word for someone else, you may wonder why God would give you a word for someone instead of giving it straight to the person who needs to hear it. The big answer to that question is that God is God, and God's going to do what God is going to do, and that is the gospel truth. But I think a more precise answer is that it's how God gets His word to non-believers, and it's how God gets His word to believers who keep the Holy Spirit in that box and keep Him there so tightly they can no longer hear His promptings. Now, James tells us in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The Holy Spirit gives wisdom to all who ask for it. Then James goes on to say in chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done, and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now, these five verses tell us that we have the ability to recognize where our wisdom is coming from. Some of our wisdom can come from the devil. But James tells us how we can recognize the difference. If your word of wisdom points people to you, if it is said to benefit you, it's not from God are the Holy Spirit. If you're still unsure, consider whether what you're being led to say contradicts anything in the Bible. That's the definite determiner. God's Spirit will not direct you toward anything God's Word speaks about in the Bible. Now, just so you know, if what you are thinking, feeling, saying, or doing is not biblical, it is not of God. That's part of what was happening that Paul was addressing in his letter to the Corinthians. People claimed to have the gift of the word of wisdom, but they were using it to build up their own reputation. The best way to determine whether what you are feeling is from the Holy Spirit is to ask yourself whether it produces the Holy Spirit's fruit. Our Bible lists 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now the Catholic Bible lists 3 more. Let me see if I can say this word right. Longanimity, which means calmness and endurance in the face of adversity. Modesty is another one that the Catholic Bible names. And the last one is chastity. If the word of wisdom that comes upon you does not produce this fruit, it is not from the Holy Spirit. Instead, it's what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was warning about in Matthew 7, 21-23 when he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" If what you're wanting to say doesn't produce good fruit, then it's not of God, and Jesus will not acknowledge you. Now, the gifts of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge closely related to each other. They're connected and can often work together, but they are different. We know they're different, even if we don't understand the difference, because the Bible lists them separately. Now, one way to look at the two is that wisdom helps us apply knowledge correctly. I said a while ago that when my friend talked to me about not understanding the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that my light bulb came on. And I knew that God wanted me to preach on each of them. Now, what that friend had that led her to say that to me was a gift, was the gift of a word of wisdom. Now, I'm intentionally not mentioning her name because I don't want her to get the big head for being the reason for 9 weeks of sermons. But she's going to recognize herself when she hears this, so. Friend, I love you dearly. See, that word from God through the Holy Spirit brought insight, inspiration, and understanding to me through my friend. It also brought a sense of peace to me about what God wanted me to do. I was completely serious about the fact that I was scared to preach this series. However, I have complete peace with my decision because I know it's what God wants of me right now. See, wisdom's practical. It's instruction on what a person should do. As in my friend's case, her question about gifts instructed me on what I needed to know without her even knowing what would happen. King Solomon received the gift of wisdom when he had to judge the case of the 2 women who were claiming a child as their own. In 1 Kings 3, 24-28, "Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword for the king, He then gave an order, cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling. "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Now Solomon was already wise, but here he received a unique insight into handling this situation. This insight, this word of wisdom, led to the revelation of truth about who the real mother was. I think sometimes we miss the point about the supernatural gift of a word of wisdom because we mistakenly believe a supernatural gift must bring big, in-your-face supernatural results. The supernatural gift of healing brings results no one can miss, right? So it stands to reason that any other supernatural gift should be just as obviously miraculous. But that's not how this works. It's not how God works. You ever think about the fact that God does most of his work in what, on the surface, seems to be relatively insignificant moments? How can I say that with assurance? I say that because we have far more relatively insignificant moments in our lives than big, in-your-face, miraculous moments. Don't get me wrong, God can always show up and show out. And there are absolutely times that he does. However, it's those small moments, moments that we don't even recognize at the time, that a word of wisdom either directly to us or through someone else can quietly change our lives. Have you ever had someone say something that was precisely what you needed to hear? They received the gift of a word of wisdom and they shared it with you. Have you ever said something to someone that was exactly what they needed to hear? You received the gift of a word of wisdom and you shared it with them. A word of wisdom isn't a big, flashy miracle, but it is a miracle because it's one of the ways that God works in the world. And we need to start recognizing and naming it as such. Now, I'm not saying when we feel the Holy Spirit's urge to speak a word of wisdom to someone, we go up to them and say, "I have a word of wisdom from God for you." Or, "God spoke to me for you." Not only does that sound pretentious, it's also bringing attention to you instead of God. My friend didn't realize that she was speaking a word of wisdom to me with her statement that she didn't understand the gifts of the Spirit. And at the time, I didn't either. But looking back, I can see that is precisely what it was, and I praise God for his word through her. I also praise God that she didn't let worry about what I might think about her for not knowing anything, knowing what she needed to know about the gifts of the Spirit. I thank God she didn't let that stop her from saying God's word to me. What I'm saying here is that we need to acknowledge, we need to first realize the gift and then acknowledge the gift. Praise God for it. Thank God for it. And if someone comes up to you thanking you for saying the right thing at the right time, then you can tell them, "It wasn't me. It was my God. And if you don't know him, I'd love to tell you about him. And I'd love to tell you about my precious Savior, Jesus Christ." God has worked for us all. Let us use the gifts that he gives us to equip us for his work. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts you send us through the Holy Spirit. Help us realize that any goodness in us comes from you and you alone. Forgive us for the times when we don't recognize your gifts, and forgive us for the times that we don't act on or use your gifts to us. Your gifts to us equip us to do your work in the world. And Father, give us the strength we need to lay aside our worries and concerns about what others may be thinking, and be the people that you are calling us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.